We're talking with one of those folks who lived through the Black Sunday experience here at the state capitol. Black Sunday, of course, 80 years ago today. Pauline Hodge is with us. And Pauline, let's talk about you. You said that you were a little girl at the time and that it was a different day.
Yes, I was almost six, not quite. We'd had dust storms every day, but nothing like that black cloud that came in that day, and everything turned totally dark. And when I tell that to people, they say, oh, now it didn't really. And I said, yes, it did. You couldn't see anything. It was the only day that I remember it was ever that bad.
It changed your family. In other words, that was almost like a tipping point for your family, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, it was a major catastrophe for us. 2 months after Black Sunday, we lost the farm to bank foreclosure. My dad always spoke highly of that banker because he said he could have foreclosed for months before, but he kept thinking if we could hang on that times would get better. We had to move. We lost the house and the farm and the machinery and everything. But fortunately, he got a job with the WPA, and that saved us. It changed us forever, though, in what we did and how we felt and how we had to live and our attitudes. It probably made better people out of us, but we didn't think that at the time.
Yeah. You mentioned that your dad kind of thought back on how people were farming at that time and felt that that might have been the reason for Black Sunday.
Well, he was certainly ahead of his time in his thinking, and he had practically no education. He had a couple of years of high school, but he wasn't able to go to agriculture school and learn all those farming practices, but he managed to educate himself through the conservation programs that came into being and through the county agents, and spent a lot of time because he was convinced it was what we had done. Because he came from northeast Missouri where there was a lot of water, he was convinced that it was because we plowed up that land. And he was right, of course.
Because of that plowing that land up, we saw the dirt storms.
Right. And I saw him. We moved to another place not too far away and became tenant farmers, but he made sure that he used some of those farming practices he'd learned through the conservation and insisted on that. I know my great uncle would come out to see how we were doing, and Dad was trying to educate him too. And everybody else around.
What do you think, you know, since the days of Black Sunday, we saw the establishment of the Conservation Service at that time. Farmers have learned, haven't they?
Yes, they have. And if you drive from Oklahoma City out to where I lived in the Panhandle and really look at the fields, you can see those practices in place everywhere, from no-till farming to terraces and different types of conservation, little dams to keep the water from running off. You can see them everywhere if you look or know what you're looking for. I'm concerned because I think we need to do a better job, and we're trying, but doing a better job of keeping people who don't actually live in those areas aware of how important conservation is. And the scariest thing to me, as I've said many times, is the dropping of the Ogallala water table and what will happen to us if it goes dry.
Yeah.
And people just don't realize. I was so mad the other day. I was watching television, and some woman in California was mad because they had kept her from watering her lawn. And her comment was, well, just let some of those farmers do without their water for a while. And I was so mad I had to keep myself from throwing something at the television screen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.